And grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, often when we talk about the things of the faith, we always go to the whys. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why do we care? And this lesson from Hebrews today is all about those whys and those hows. And I think it's really helpful to reflect on these things because it gives us a goal. It helps us to be motivated, to know why we're doing something, that we're not just frivolously doing it, just hanging out and enjoying each other's company, but we're actually gathered for a purpose. But it's also important that we reflect on this Hebrews passage and know that it is for those of us who are already journeying in our faith. This is not for those who need to learn who Christ is, but those of us who know who Christ is. But the reality is that we all have to start somewhere. And we do start with the cross of Christ. And that cross is a dark and depressing place. It is a gloomy place that we strangely celebrate. Because on this cross, Jesus dies. Jesus suffers and dies. But it is not a vain death. It is not a meaningless death. His blood is shed for us. He takes our place in punishment for sin so that we do not need to suffer for these things. But while he dies a death like everyone else has or eventually will, his grave is unlike anyone else's. Because that celebration on Easter morning is that the grave is empty, that Christ is risen, that death cannot hold him, that he is victorious, and that through him, to join with him in this, all we must do is trust in him, have faith in him, to know him and to be his disciples as he has set us free. Now, Paul picks up on this in his letter to the Galatians, talking about us being enslaved to the things of this world, and that God has come to us to rescue us from slavery. But what's really wonderful, especially in this passage from Galatians 4, is that Paul describes Jesus not just rescuing us from slavery. God didn't just release us from the chains and just say, okay, go on your way. God has adopted us to be his children. And not only just his children, but also his heirs. So that we might receive this kingdom that he has brought to our world. And so that's where we want to begin as we get into this lesson from Hebrews. It's a long lesson and it's challenging. There's a lot of imagery going on that's a little bit unfamiliar maybe. But this is a wonderful place for us to start as we are seeking to develop and grow in our walk of faith. This lesson from chapter 12 is very, very helpful for us as God's children. The author of Hebrews opens up describing God's discipline. And discipline is not something that we like to hear. Discipline is frowned upon in our world today. But discipline is such a phenomenal way of teaching and growing someone. You might, like me, immediately think of the word discipline and think of the punishment that a parent might bring to their child. You know, a smack on the butt for doing something wrong. But discipline is so much more than that. It's far more than punishment. It's training. It is building up. It's meant to break us down and build us right back up. And that's why I think athlete, when I think of discipline now, an athlete is a great example of what discipline looks like. Because although they are tired and weak from exercising and from building up their body, they become very strong. We grow through these things. You might only think of discipline as negative because you have maybe negative memories of when you were punished for doing something. But I want you to see that even through that, that punishment is breaking you of a bad behavior to replace it with a good one, i.e. not doing wrong. And so we look at God as he has adopted us to be his sons and his daughters, that of course this is no easy task. But in his love, he receives us into the family, he gives us the kingdom. But if we're honest, we're not ready. We are not ready to receive the kingdom because we need discipline. We are stuck in our sins. We need this holy training. We need this holy discipline to break us of those old sinful ways, to build us up to be more like the family that God desires. And the author of Hebrews very plainly states that if you're not going through this discipline, you're an illegitimate child. You don't get this stuff. Discipline is a part of it, that it comes naturally with it. And if we look inwardly at ourselves, we do truly need it. We need to be broken of these sins that are pulling us back and holding us down. Because our hearts are filled with greed, with anger, lust, laziness. I mean, you name it. There's sins that are in our hearts that we need to be broken of. And so we need this discipline of God where we are growing to get away from these sins and grow to be more perfect, to get up to that level of perfection that God desires. Not so that we receive salvation, but that we grow as His children. And all of this discipline must also always be understood that it is happening through love. If God didn't love us, God wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't care. But because God cares, because God loves, He seeks to make us better. So the author of Hebrews then says, be encouraged. Lift up your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may be healed. He wants you to straighten your back up. Stand strong. Stand tall. He wants you to bring what is lacking in so that it might be strengthened and healed. The author wants you to take heart and not be depressed and saddened by the fact that you're going through these things, but rather that you see the strength that they give you, which also, though, sometimes comes a few years later. You might not realize it now, but later in life you see how God has given you great strength because of what you have had to go through. But it also needs to be understood, as the author of Hebrews continues, that we are not alone. I mean, you're looking left and right to all the people who are around you. It might be kind of obvious. But even when we're gathered around people, sometimes we feel so alone and isolated and without anyone to help us. And so that's why God has given us the church. The church is understood as the body of Christ, but more relevant for today is understood as the family of God. And this is where we serve others. The Lord is working in our lives to discipline us, to grow us, to make us better and stronger. But what's really cool is that He's also using us to do that for others. The author of Hebrews encourages us to seek and strive for peace and holiness with one another. And as we reflect on that, that means that you need to be patient with one another. It means you need to be tactful with one another. And that tact is a real big thing, isn't it? That sometimes things just kind of fall out of our mouths. Whether we meant it to come out that way or not, sometimes people will get easily offended. And you can say one wrong thing and they have just, I don't ever want to speak to that person ever again. And that's where this patience and this tact comes to play. Because the Lord is using you to bless you, to love others, to give His love to others. And so you want to be conscious about how you're doing this to love and serve others with that peace and holiness that you have received, so that then you can bring the Lord's discipline to people. Right? No one wants to be corrected. We don't really like hearing that. To be told you're doing it wrong is not really something anyone enjoys hearing. But the discipline of the Lord works through the church that we can work with one another and actually correct people. But we again need to be patient and tactful, need to be peaceful and loving. Because, as the author continues, we want grace to be present here everywhere. And that graceful love of God that you yourself have received needs to be in every aspect of our family here. So that, as he says in verse 15, no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You've probably seen that negativity even in the church or in many other places, that one person can get hurt, and their hurt is so so strong. It might even seem like nothing, but their hurt is still so strong that it springs up like this root of bitterness, like a spring, and it just floods everywhere. And eventually everybody becomes bitter and hurt by these things. So again, be graceful, loving, patient, tactful, and help people. The author is pointing out that no one is sexually immoral, that no one is struggling with things of unholiness, that God works through all of us to make us better and stronger and good and holy, being disciplined and grown. And then, again, is the why. For you have been given something so wonderful. Why are we here? Why are we allowing ourselves to be disciplined? Why are we looking out for other people? And it's because of all of this, all these wonderful gifts that God has given us. That by Christ shedding his blood for us, we are able to come before God. We see this kind of, if you're not familiar with it, on page 5, starts with verse 18 in Hebrews 12. The author of Hebrews is talking about the time with Moses and the people at Sinai, where they were terrified of God. They couldn't stand to hear it. We are in a better spot than Moses. Moses, who has been lifted up throughout the entirety of scriptures. We are in a better spot than him because we have received this holiness from God, to be made into God's people, that we can come before him without fear, without trembling. That as Paul speaks in Ephesians, talking about us being made his sons and his daughters, that we can come before him as a heavenly father and know him so well and so intimately and dearly. We have a God who desires to be in that relationship with us. And he has given us Christ to make that happen. But then the question that always helps me maintain focus, find meaning, is then, well, now what? And the author of Hebrews helps out with that even more. The purpose, the now what, as he describes, is for worship. But I want us to be challenged to understand that word worship. That it is not just this time here together on Sunday mornings, Saturday evenings, or even in the midweek services. It's not just the time where we're gathered in worship together, even, you know, in this church. Worship is how we live as God's children. We are continually worshiping God by how we live, by the words which we speak, by the actions which we do. This is what worship looks like. Granted, worship is also a big part, where we gather together to pray, to praise God, to sing our glories to him, to receive the gifts that he brings to us. But also we worship God by going out into the world and living as the children that God has made us, that he has called us to be. And it's through all of these things that we worship God. And so the question we really need to reflect on now is, well, how are we living? And that's where I want us to turn to our lesson from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, where he tells us to strive through the narrow door. We have another very challenging reading from Jesus today. And you know, I hear a word like narrow, and I get anxious. I obviously am not a small person. Narrow is just something that I'm not comfortable with. And also, I'm claustrophobic, so I just think of narrow. At the seminary, there is a tower. And we would always go up the tower, and on the top of it, you can see all around St. Louis. It's a gorgeous view. But you have to go up a staircase. You have to go up it sideways because it's so narrow. So anytime I think of the word narrow, I think of the narrow door, I think of that staircase and how I would just go up it going, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. I won't get stuck. But narrow is something we don't like because that means that we have to make sure to fit through it. Narrow is something that's not really welcoming. Imagine if the doors to our sanctuary were narrow. Well, that would actually be pretty good imagery as I think about it, but it would be hard to welcome people into our church, right? Because the doors are so narrow. How can you welcome anyone in? But as we look at Christ, as we look at this lesson from Hebrews, as we reflect on all these things, as I was thinking about this, is there something that we have in ourselves and in our lives that is preventing us from getting through that narrow door? Have we become fat and lazy? And is it preventing us from fitting, if you will, into that narrow door? Is there something we need to lose? Something, maybe some spiritual exercise to get rid of those things that are hanging on to us? And as we think about these things, are there things we idolize? Even in this church, things that are getting in the way of us fitting through this narrow door or living as God's sons and daughters. Is our worship empty? Is our time in Bible study only used for socializing? When we are called outside of this church to serve, are we only doing it when it's really convenient for us? Or when God is pushing you so hard that you can't avoid it? And that's what we seriously need to examine. As we are even saying, how are we living? As we are considering all these things, this is what we need to examine. How are we living, and what is preventing us from fitting through that narrow door that Christ has proclaimed? Because he doesn't use light or easy words. He uses very serious words. That you enter to seek to enter through that door, and eventually that door will be closed. And the person who's closed the door says, I have no idea who you are. Even though you might have lifted up your worship and praise to the master of the door, he will say, I don't know you. What is preventing us from entering in that narrow door? But then, as you reflect on all these things, those whys, those now whats, all those little questions we ask, those help us have focus and purpose and meaning behind all these things. And I think that Isaiah 66:23 really gives us that focus. And that is the end, where all flesh shall come to worship before the Lord. And this worship, this holy living, this holy life that we get to have, that as all eventually will pass away and God gets rid of the old and brings in the new as we rise to life with Him, this is our focus. This is why we're seeking to get through that narrow door, so that we are not cast aside, but that we get to live in eternity with God. That as Christ has died and risen to make us God's children, that as God has disciplined us and grown us to be more holy children, it is all for this purpose of gathering together. And so what I want you to do in your holy living, in your worship life, is not only to compartmentalize it into Sunday worship, but to live as God's people with one another, growing one another, caring for one another, but also going out. I want you to strive for these things, to share that love that you yourselves have received, because it is through that love that we ourselves grow and that we can help one another grow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.